Psalm 100. Ready? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Very good. Thank you. If you'll find verse 15 of the 89th Psalm, I'm going to read that verse to you. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people. I like this. I like this verse. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful, Lord, to be able to read this portion of Scripture along with these good people. And Lord, just what the reading of the Bible does to our hearts. As we take the time to consider the words of God, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful psalm that has brought hope and happiness and joy. And I think also, Lord, is one of those psalms that from time to time just kind of helps us set a proper reset a button in our outlook on life. Lord, we ask that you take the preaching of the Word of God and minister to saints. And Lord, I pray for that one that may be here without Christ as their Savior, that they be saved this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Psalm 89, verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, the joyful sound. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You know what? If you had none of your five senses except for hearing, for some reason you were denied all of the other four human senses, if all you could do was hear, you ought to know when you're in the church house. You ought to know when you're in the church house. There's something about the sounds that come from God's people that ought to be different than the sounds that come from any other group of people anywhere on this planet. People ought to just, if all they had a chance to do was just hear us, they ought to know that's different. That's not of this world. That's not of this place. There's something divine, there's something heavenly, there's something supernatural about the sounds that come from God's house and from God's people. Some of the earliest memories that I have of first going to church, and most of you know that my mom and dad, my dad, of course, founded this church, pastored it for many years, but I was 5 years old. Up to the time I was 5 years old, they didn't take us to church. My mom and dad was lost, unsaved, and we moved to Brazil, Indiana, because my dad had a job opportunity over in Terre Haute, and the Lord, in his goodness and graciousness to us, saw to it that we moved across the street from some born-again Christians. And that's why I have a passion for encouraging our people to look around your neighborhood. I don't think there's a person in here that lives where you live by accident. I think God allowed you to buy that place, rent that place. He's put you there on purpose. I would bet you anything there might be a Bob and Donna Ross somewhere near you that are decent people and hardworking people, but just lost and in the need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for neighbors that weren't afraid to walk across the street and invite our family to church. Thank God for neighbors that didn't get discouraged when they heard a few no's before they finally got a yes. But as a little boy going to this new place called church, one of the first delightful memories that I hold is the church bells. We went to a little country church out in the middle of nowhere. If I took you there, you'd say, you got to be kidding. How in the world did y'all even find this place? But an old, plain country church, white clapboard church. And up in the bell tower, there was an old church bell. And the preacher used to let us kids help him. And boy, we couldn't wait when it was our turn. And right before the Sunday school hour would start, they'd start ringing the church bell. I don't know how we got away from that. How did we get away from that? You know, I think instead of church bells, we've just decided to become a bunch of ding-dongs. Maybe that's the way Christianity is going. We got rid of the church bells, and now everybody's coming a ding dong. But I loved it. I loved it. You know, the church bell started ringing. I have read two or three times, and now people will send me articles, I think, just to irritate me. But I know what happened to some of the church bells. People starts filing lawsuits. You know, that makes me want to go get a church bell. Heaven forbid that church down the street's ringing the bell on Sunday morning at 9:30. Good night. Don't they know I'm trying to sleep in? But there was something about that church bell ringing and the memory of that. It was as if the bell was calling to God's people. It's time to come. It's time to gather. It's time to sing. It's time to worship the Lord. The Word of God's going to be preached. Come, people, come. I love the sound of a church bell. I still love that. From the assembly, in my early memories of being in church, honestly, of all of the things that I remember, a lot of them are the memory of church sounds and sounds that were unique to the church place. And folks, you know what? Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to be a place where when people come in, there's a different sound here than there is anywhere else. That they'll visit in this world, in this community. They ought to hear some things here that they can't hear almost anywhere else. My earliest memories of the joyful sounds is of joyful singing. We went to a little country church and have a lot of people, but you know what? They weren't afraid to sing. And let me just encourage Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's keep being a singing church. I don't understand it. I go to, sometimes on vacation, I'll slip into a church. Most of the churches we go to are good churches. But every once in a while, you've been there, we get to a place where you got to find some place to go, and you're just kind of open the yellow pages, and you say a quick prayer, and you go like this, and you try to find what you hope is not an independent Fundamental Baptist Church on paper, but actually an independent Fundamental Baptist Church. And you walk in, and even in some churches that I've gone to where, I'll be honest with you, I'm a bit shocked. But the song service has just become a time for people to talk, or a time for people to stand and stare, or a time for people to mumble. You know what? How does that bring praise to the Lord? You know what? The Bible says, we could take a lot of time here right now, because you can go literally from the first psalm all the way almost to the last one. And you know what you'll read over and over and over again? The importance of worshiping the Lord in song. Let me just share a couple verses with you. Psalm 81:1, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. How about Psalm 95:1? Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And I think one of the things that lost people, I like to watch visitors, and sometimes they're from other churches, and sometimes they've never been much in church, and they come in, and Brother Tom gets up here, and he starts singing, and everybody actually opens their mouth and sings it out, and you can see they open a songbook, and they're ready, and all of a sudden, boom, we start, and they start looking around a little bit like, what is going on here? That's the way it ought to be. Brother Tom, he shared his heart with me about a couple months ago and said, Brother or Pastor, I just feel like, you know, we're not singing like we would. I said, say something to him. And he did. And I said, amen, back here. And he came to me a couple weeks later, and after a service, he said, that today sounded like the old Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Folks, we ought to say, hey, we've got something to sing about. We're saved. We got something to sing about. The Bible says, the Word of God says that we are to sing loud. Sing loud unto the Lord our strength. You know, folks, that's a command. That means if you're just sitting there mumbling through the song, shame on you, in disobedience to the Word of God. Open your mouth. Sing loud unto the Lord. Sing joyfully unto the Lord. Lift up your voice unto the Lord. That's what the Bible commands us to do. God is worthy of our worship through song. Gone to too many churches where I feel like that they've created with their song service almost a funeral type atmosphere. And then I hear the preaching and I realize why. Because the church is dead. Sing out. Great memories of singing in the church house. I remember we're going to have baptism after the service this morning. We're going to have baptism in just a few minutes. But, you know, we didn't always have indoor baptistries. How many of you were raised in a church where they went out and baptized in a creek or in a lake or something like that? Amen, amen. You know what I've decided to do? We're going to collect some folks this summer that We'll get some folks saved, and we're going to collect some, and we're going to have an old-fashioned go down to one of these stripper pits, and it's all right. They're saved. They're all right. If we lose one or two, they're going to heaven. It'll be okay. And I'll send Brother Reiser out first to make sure that it just doesn't, you know. If he disappears, we'll find another pit somewhere else, and send Brother Chad Gordon out to check it out, and find the right place, then I may walk out there. But just have an old, you know what we used to do? We used to go out down by the creek. And our preacher was a country preacher. And because of that, he figured out some things. And you want to be upriver of the cattle. Do I need to go any further with this? You want to make sure you're upriver where the cows are down there feeding and splashing around. And there's reasons for that. And we would gather at the bank of the river. I say a river, it's like a little creek, just deep enough, about waist deep in the middle where you could baptize someone. And the church would gather on the bank. And I don't know why, you know, different churches have different traditions, and that's, you know, it's a good thing. But we'd always sing Trust and Obey. And they'd sing a verse of Trust and Obey as the first person walked in. And then they'd stop singing, and they'd baptize that first one. The church, I mean, folks, nobody leading it, just pick up together and start singing the second verse as one of them came out and the other one came back in and they'd baptize. You know what? I'm glad I got those memories. I want your young people to be raised in a church where they hear the people lift up their voice and sing praises unto God. The music this morning was outstanding. Young men, thank you. And Sister Jenny, thank you. And our congregation singing, thank you, folks. I mean, let's sing the joyful sound. Let's sing the joyful noise. Thank you, Brother Tom, for leading us in the old rugged cross. I mean, how in the world can you sing a couple of verses of the old rugged cross and not have something good happen in your heart? I want to say this. I'm not going to run off and chase a rabbit trail this morning, but let me say this. And folks, if you disagree with this, you're just wrong. But I'm disturbed. You know, if we've reached a point in Christianity where you can, on a Saturday night, walk near the back door of a honky-tonk and stand there for 5 minutes and listen to the music coming out, then go to bed and wake up Sunday morning and stand at the door of a church and listen to the music coming out, and it's the same music, then we're in trouble. I mean, we're just flat in trouble. If you can go to a rock concert with all the debauchery that goes on at a rock concert and get within a mile of that and listen to that music and then come to the church house and stand at the back door and listen to the same kind of music, we're in trouble. You see, folks, God's people have always had a distinct sound. The Bible says, speak unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's music and songs that stir up the flesh, and there's music and songs that minister to the spirit. And you know what? Blessed Hope Baptist Church here, we're going to stick with spiritual music. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Because you know what? We're interested here in ministering to a man's spirit, building his spirit, not energizing the flesh. They that sow into, oh, it doesn't matter. I say it doesn't matter. They that sow into the flesh shall of the flesh reap. And it does matter. And every single person says it doesn't. Just watch them. Just watch that ministry. Pretty soon, flesh corruption. Flesh corruption. We're going to protect Blessed Hope Baptist Church here. We're going to guard it. We're going to keep the emphasis on building the spiritual man. There's a spiritual Christian, and there is a carnal, fleshly Christian. And we're going to build spiritual people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank God for the spiritual, the joyful singing, the joyful sound, the joyful music. Thank you for the songs that have stood the test of time and have proven to bring revival and repentance to the heart of God's people. So the joyful sounds. I like going to a church where I hear joyful singing and joyful music. How about this? Here's another sound that ought to come out of the church. Joyful preaching. I'm going to have you go over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now, preacher, when you say joyful preaching, what are you talking about? Well, let's let the Bible define that for us. Romans chapter number 10. You know what? The very word gospel means good news. I like the way it's worded here in Romans chapter 10. And those of us that take time to share the word of God with lost people, oftentimes when someone's got a question about their eternity and their eternal destination, we'll take them to Romans chapter 10 verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto them, unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But notice what it says here in verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not? What's the next word? There ought to be something coming out. There ought to be a sound coming out of the church house. What is it, preacher? And have not heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Notice what it says here. And bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. Glad tidings of good things. You know what? The Bible, when a man of God preaches the Bible, that's glad tidings of good things. Say, preacher, some parts of the Bible are kind of tough. That's still glad tidings of good things. Right. I mean, you know what ought to cause a church to be very distinctive and set apart? You know what? We ought to be willing to preach all of the Word of God, all that it says. Amen. And so, well, preacher, some of it is hard, I know, but it's still a glad tidings of good things. Right. It's still a good sound, joyful preaching. How beautiful are, the Bible says, are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. You guys say everything you want to about the way my foot looks. But the Bible says, I can't believe they came up and made fun of handicapped people right here in my church. And maybe I'm missing a big toe, but when God looks at my feet, he said, boy, those things are beautiful, man. Hallelujah. I think I'm going to preach a message one of these nights on beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. Some of you visitors wonder what I'm talking about. Between my junior and senior year, I was mowing and pulled a mower over the one of my right foot and cut my big toe off. Now, what you're doing is you're listening to maybe the only nine-toed preacher in all of the United States of America. Yeah, yeah. If you want to see it, $25. It costs you $25 a person, not for the whole group, $25. I'll be waiting in a room back there, and my wife will be collecting the money, and we'll... how beautiful are the feet of them. Good tidings of glad things. I love Bible preaching. I do. Some of you young people need to learn to love Bible preaching. You enjoy the song service, you like the announcements, you like when we're up here... And then it gets to preaching time. If you're not careful, you know what you'll do? You'll start sliding your mind into neutral for the next 40 minutes. And just kind of look around. Listen, you ought to hone in when the Word of God is being preached. Thank God for Bible preaching. See, it was Bible preaching that helped bring me under conviction of sin. It was Bible preaching that gave the Father something to use to begin to draw me to Him. It was Bible preaching that explained to me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and who He was. It was gospel preaching. Thank God for a preacher that got up and pled for lost sinners to be saved. Persuaded lost sinners to be saved. Called out for lost sinners to be saved. Oh, preacher, I'm not sure you should try to talk them into it. Well, Agrippa said this, almost thou. I think if you'd have been there when Paul was talking to Agrippa, you know what? I think you wouldn't have just seen black words on white paper. I think you would have sensed a passion. You know what? Paul was doing everything he could to try to get that man to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he poured his soul out to him as he preached. And he did everything he could to persuade him to accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost thou persuadest me. It bothers me when I go somewhere and a preacher is preaching something, and you know what? He's not interested in it, so why should I be? He's not passionate about it, so why should I be passionate about it? I mean, if it hasn't moved the preacher's heart in the study, it's not going to move the people's heart in the pew. And you know what? We need to get back into our studies and get on our faces and study the Word of God until it touches us, and then stand up, lift up our voice like a trumpet, tell the people of their sins, point them to Jesus Christ. That's That's a good sound coming from the church house. The Bible preaching, gospel preaching, that's a good sound coming from the church house. We're going to do next week a Easter cantata. And we've done this for several years. And I tell Brother Bud, take the first 15 to 20 minutes and let's just lift up, have our choir and our young people sing about the resurrection. But folks, listen to me. I like the cantata, but a cantata here is never going to be a substitute for the preaching of God's word. Amen. Preacher, don't you understand? Drama is being used to great effect. I think I'll just preach. I think I'll just preach. But video, haven't you been on YouTube? Videos are, I think I'll just preach, thank you. It's a good sound. Thank God for the preaching of God's word. Thank God that when a leather-lunged preacher stands up and says, "Thus saith the Lord," thank God that somebody's pointing people to Calvary. It's a good sound. Young people, learn to love preaching. Just learn to love preaching. When there's preaching, good things happen. When the word of God is proclaimed, good things happen. I like joyful songs and joyful music and joyful preaching. And y'all have been good about it this morning, so I can kind of brag on you, but I like joyful amens. Amens. I like it when somebody votes during a sermon. You say votes? Yeah, votes during the sermon. Yeah. They don't just leave the preacher up there by himself. They say, amen. Good when a daddy says that, because you know what? Then his wife knows that he's on board. Amen. It's good when a daddy says that, his children knows, you know what? He's on board with it. Well, we've gotten too quiet, too mute now. Amen. I like preaching, and I like saying amen to preaching. When I'm preaching, I like preaching. When somebody else is preaching, I'm going to help them out. I'm going to say amen. Young men, one of the things you ought to learn, don't be ashamed to say amen to good Bible preaching. Every once in a while, slip in a hallelujah. You know what? The roof's not going to cave in. Amen. Ladies, if you got a hanky, wave it every once in a while. It's not going to bother me at all. Amen. You know, I'd even probably make it if every great once in a while I heard a amen. I'd probably be all right with that. I'm not. We're not going to kick you out of the church house. Amen. Amen. I like it when God's people are saying to the preaching of the Bible, we're for it. We're glad we're here. We agree with it. I preach in a lot of places. Blessed Old Baptist Church is that y'all make it an easy place to preach. I mean, you do. Thank you, church. Thank you. But and I can preach with amens and I can preach without amens. Day I have to have amens to preach is the day I better get out of the pulpit, because I don't have to have anybody saying amen to preach anything. But I will tell you this, it's sure a lot easier. I've gone to places and preached and have a bunch of people just sit there with frowns on their faces and their arms crossed and staring daggers at you during the preaching of the Bible. And you know what? I've had to learn to take that and turn it into an amen. That's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog to me. That just gives me more energy. I think y'all ain't going to get excited. I'll get excited for me and you. You know, it's interesting, when Jeremiah was called into the gospel ministry, you know, one of the things God told him, you know why? Because he was going to a backslidden Israel, going to a carnal Israel, going to an Israel that, he said, now listen, don't you be afraid of their faces. Don't you be afraid of their faces. And you know what? Whether you think it or not or know it or not, your face tells a lot about your heart. Amen. Amen. Come on now. You ought to read about it. The Bible talks about a countenance. You know what? When the brother Moses went up the mountain and spent some time with the Lord, he came back and there was a shine about him. Scared the people. Read the story. Scared the Israelites to the point where brother Moses said, you know what I better do is put something over my face because I'm scaring these people. You say, you mean a literal... No, I'm just saying this. You go to the presence of God, and I'm going to tell you something. It affects your countenance. It affects the look on your face. I remember... I shouldn't confess to this, but... I went to a Southern Baptist church once in Tennessee when I was in Bible college. It's amazing they didn't find out and kick me out, but I did. I went down to a buddy's wedding... Guy that was my roommate was going to get married.
In fact, those of you, some of you know Jeff Brady. I went down to Jeff's wedding. He married a girl that came to Bible college, but her folks attended a kind of a staunch and quiet and formal Southern Baptist church. And I went in there and listened to the music and watched the people mumble through it, and no spirit. Thank you, Sister Jenny. There ought to be a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And to watch folks disinterested and song leader unenthusiastic and the piano player stumbling her way through a song and preacher giving announcements like he was reading an obituary, and he got up and started preaching, and I'm sitting there, and I mean, there's just something inside of me going, come on. So I sat there and I said to myself, now remember, folks, I was probably 19 or 20 at the time. I have advanced in maturity greatly since those days. What are y'all laughing? Why are you looking at my wife? Amen. Come on, I need an amen right here, honey. Come on. I sat there just, you know, folks, I'm not used to going to church like that. I understand some churches have a little bit different personality, but this isn't a personality thing. This is just a dead thing. This just, where's the pulse? Where's the power of God? Where's the Spirit of God? Where's an excitement about being saved? Where's the smiles? Where's the happiness? Where's the joy? I'm not hearing the sounds that are any different than what I heard on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, loading trucks at UPS. Where's the victory? Go out in the world and they got all that same junk. Come to the church house and there you go. Half the people looking upset and mad and aggravated and pouting about this or pouting about that. No victory, no joy in their life. And I sat there and I said, I'm going to listen to every word this preacher says. And if he says one thing that I can halfway agree with, I'm going to shout amen. It took about 20 minutes of listening. Finally, he said something about the Lord being good or existing. I was honing in on it. He said something, and I said, amen! There was about 200 people in that church, and every head went right around. We're a people of the joyful sound. God's people ought to know the joyful sound. Now, that not just be in the church house. Let me help you in your home. We shouldn't just have to come to church to hear joyful sounds. Amen. A church where Christ is ought to have joyful sounds. A home where Christ is ought to have joyful sounds. Amen. You know, well, there's good music here. Ought to be good music at home. One of the best pieces of advice I can give you. Preacher, there's a spirit about our home that's not good. Man alive, will you please, on a regular basis, play good spiritual music in your house? It will change the environment of your house. It'll change your heart. Things that come to my mind. This morning, I'm walking around, meditating on the message. Nobody's here except Brother Reiser. And I'm in the auditorium, and a little phrase comes to me from a song. So I'm trying to think of what song it came from. And next thing I know, I'm standing in the auditorium here singing, oh, give me a home. You know that song? All right, help me then. Where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play. The misheard, a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy. Stop, I can't take anymore. And this is what I thought. This is the phrase that I was meditating on. Where seldom is heard a discouraging word. And the honest truth is, that ought to be the church and that ought to be the Christian home. I think when God leans over from heaven and listens to the church house, you know what? Everything that comes out of that church house ought to put a smile on his face. Preacher, why do you fuss at us sometimes? Because you know what? I want this church to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want God in heaven to look down and say, boy, you know what? I sure like what I'm hearing come out of Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Well, preacher, not everything that happens is good. Well, we know because you always bring it up. I got an idea. Why don't you change your perspective? You can show up to church and you can sit back there and you can just, you're there to analyze. And you're there to watch and listen. And boy, if you can latch onto one negative thing or one thing you don't think was done quite right, you've got something to talk about the rest of the week. And you're missing all of the blessings and all of the good. I don't think joyful sounds ought to just come from the auditorium. I think joyful sounds ought to come from the foyer. I don't think joyful sounds ought to just come from the foyer. I think joyful sounds ought to be in the nursery. Amen. Nursery workers, you're there to watch babies, sing them songs, and be pleasant to each other. You're not in the nursery for an hour and a half on a Sunday night to catch up on all the gossip. I think joyful sounds ought to be out in the parking lot. See, Christians kind of think that God can hear us in here, but we walk 50 feet out by the car and stand and share a bunch of garbage with another Christian, pass on some pollution. We got it in our head, God can't hear that. You know, I hope as the Lord just kind of goes with me throughout the day, that the testimony would be, I sure like what I hear out of Pastor Jerry Ross. I like it. Not just when he's in the pulpit. I like it when he's in the house. I like it when he's in Walmart. The once a year I will go to Walmart. I like it when he's down there paying for his gas down at the gas station. $4 a gallon. Well, maybe there ought to be times for a discouraging word. Amen. You ever think about that? No, get this. If you were making the minimum wage, taking money from people, and gas goes over $4, do you realize that person taking your money doesn't have an oil well and doesn't set the price? And I thought to myself, how many people today have come in and growled at this poor girl? It's just, she's making money trying to put fuel in her gas tank. Wouldn't it be neat that when a Christian walks in, she hears a whole different sound? She has a whole different experience. Man, the last 50 people that came in threw their money down and growled at me like I control the oil prices. Like I'm the president of OPEC. Church members, listen to me. When you walk into Stoll's or some other restaurant, and that waitress waits on your table, they ought to hear a whole different sound. And so should the person sitting over here next to you. Come on, y'all from small towns? Who is listening to everything you're talking about? You know what they ought to hear? Joyful sounds. Amen. Amen. The sounds of music coming from the church house and singing coming from the church house and spiritual songs, joyful preaching, joyful amens. And I'm going to have you go one more place. Go to Luke chapter 15. I want to share this with you. Of all of the joyful sounds that we ought to listen to and hear on a regular basis in and around the church house, and God in heaven ought to hear, is described for us in Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Luke 15, verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, watch this, he layeth it on his shoulders. What? And then he cometh home. He calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which needeth no repentance. Another story, verse 8. Neither Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Of all the sounds that I have memories of growing up in the church house, the happiest sounds and the happiest moments that I have locked into my memory is when somebody who walked into the church unsaved, heard a gospel message, walked forward, knelt at an altar, had the Bible open to them, salvation simply explained by simple faith, put their trust in Jesus Christ, and a preacher stand them up and look at a congregation of people and say, Mrs. So-and-so has come today to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. If there ought to be a moment of rejoicing, if there ought to be a joyful sound lift up towards heaven, it ought to be at that moment. Don't get used to it, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Don't get used to it. Young man, don't get used to it. You're training in a ministry where you see a lot of it, but you know what? You're not always going to be in that ministry. Don't get used to it. When somebody gets saved, let's not just go, how many went forward? Oh no, they got the Bible. I wonder how long the invitation. Shame on you. I said, shame on you. I said, what a wicked spirit. Shame on you. Man alive, there ought to be tears pouring down the face of Christians and hallelujahs bubbling up from their heart. A soul's being saved. A sinner's coming to Christ. Somebody has understood the glorious gospel. Somebody's being born again. Amen, preacher. If we have to stay here all afternoon, amen, preacher. Let's get one more soul into heaven. We're going to be busy this month. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, are you going to help out around here? We're going to roll up our sleeves and get busy. We're busy all the time, but we take a little bit of time in the spring, a little bit of time in the fall, and we just say, church, you know what? We're going to live a little out of balance for a month. And you know what? We're going to give probably more than we normally would as far as inviting and trying to get people in under the gospel, and let's work hard at it. Let's get after it. And you know what? There's nothing more exciting than to see somebody walk in a church lost, hear the gospel, fall under conviction of sin, be drawn by the Father, make the decision to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, they just don't get any better than that. Woo! We had two people saved last Wednesday night. You know, the rejoicing first started down on earth, and then the rejoicing took off up in heaven. The one that found the sheep started rejoicing, and then the Bible says, likewise, it took off in heaven. The lady started rejoicing when she found the coin. Likewise, you know, the rejoicing ought to start amongst God's people and spread all the way to heaven when one person gets saved. Look right up here. Let me have your hearts. Are you saved?
Yes.
Have you been born again?
Yes.
Except the man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
If you were to die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? What about this matter of eternity? Of eternity, you know what? When God created you, it's appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. He wound the clock. There's only so many ticks. Everybody has an appointed time. If you look back on the timeline of your life between when you were born and right now, can you go back to a memory spot in your mind and say, there is where God brought me under great conviction of my sin, my lost condition, and there's where I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Some of you are here today and say, preacher, when you started talking about this, something started happening inside of me. Let me help you with that. That's God working in your heart. I remember what it is to walk in a church lost. I remember what it is to sit listening to gospel preaching. I remember sometimes knowing that God was doing something and not even knowing what He was doing, but knowing that I had a need. Thank God for a faithful preacher that preached on sin. Thank God for a faithful preacher that preached on hell. That preached on the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that pleaded with sinners to be saved. Thank God, best day of my life was a day when all that came together. And I stepped out of my seat to an aisle and walked down forward and said to the preacher, I need to be saved. Had him open a Bible and show me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I called out that day and asked him to be my Savior. I've never had to lay my head on my pillow one time since there and worry about whether I go to heaven or hell. Not because Jerry Ross deserves anything. I don't deserve a thing. I'm not going to heaven because of anything good in me. It's all Jesus, all Christ. Amen. Are you here today without Christ? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a minute. We're going to give you an opportunity now to be saved. We'll give you an opportunity right now to be saved. Preacher, if I was to die right now, I'm not sure what would happen to me, but God is stirring my heart about it. I am convicted. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not perfect. I know that I've sinned against God. Preacher, the Bible talks about a hell that's real and a heaven that's real. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would hope that you get saved today. I'm standing here honestly in your stead, pleading to you, standing between death and life. Have you ever been saved? You know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'd like to have somebody take the Bible and show me a little bit about salvation. Well, just a minute, not yet, but in just a minute, we're going to pray, and then we're going to stand, and we're going to let the piano player play. And there's men up here with the Word of God. If you're a lady and you come, we'll get a lady that's trained to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man or a young man and you need to talk to somebody about salvation, there's people in our church that have been trained to go through very carefully the Scriptures and help you to know that you're on your way to heaven. Heavenly Father, bless our invitation time. Help us, Lord. Help us. May this be a place of joyful sound. Lord, if there's someone here without Christ, may they be saved today so that we can break out in celebration here and heaven can break out in celebration where you are, dear God, in your presence, great rejoicing. Bless our invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name.